Chapter 1 of Raven Memory by David G. Schrock. Part 4. Didn't you get coffee? Steve glances over at the passenger seat. He finds his girl, Cassandra. Passing street lamps splash over her long face. No, he says. Slipping the notepad from his pocket, he looks out the windshield. A brief meeting. Didn't have chance to grab a cup. Tipping the notepad towards the window, he finds the details. School is near. The first period begins at 8. He pushes the accelerator and the engine growls. In the hectic world of scheduling beyond reason, rudeness comes with arriving late. Events measured to the second, life in the modern world is a long way from marking the day by the positions of the sun and stars. With the help of electronic timekeeping, workers schedule every available second of their day. Rolling his wrist, he checks the hands on his watch. 3 minutes before 8. He finds the wristwatch adequate, even without a second hand. The problem with scheduling every available moment of the day is the increasing failure in punctuality. Searching for phantom seconds imprisons him inside his own world, dulling reality. Scheduling to the minute leaves 60 seconds to spare. Even better, a schedule for the hour leaves room for patience. Slow down, Daddy. Pulling her backpack, Cassandra hugs it against her middle. Some of my friends aren't too keen on looking for traffic. Yes, Pumpkin. He eases up on the accelerator pedal. The engine lowers half an octave. The wipers squeak, clearing drops. Passing beneath a street lamp, he notices a somber face flashing its reflection in the side of the window. Cassandra has something on her mind. Wipers squeak against the glass, smothering drops. Twisting the knob on the end of the lever, he sends the wipers to the bottom of the glass, clicking into place. Why don't you have a phone? Her brows furrow and her eyes send a piercing glare that could turn the nerves on any man. How am I supposed to call you if I need something? Watching the road, Steve feels those eyes burning into the side of his face. It's a commanding presence, learned by watching him deal with pushy salesmen and other unsavory types. Eye expression reveals many things about a person, including fear, deceit, leadership, love, and intimidation. Choosing the most appropriate eye expression helps a person through many situations in life. Far from being a master, he too often relies on intimidation. It is no surprise that this is also true of his girl. Resting a hand on the backpack, Cassandra flicks the pocket zipper. Plan ahead, says Steve. Touching the brake, he slows the car, taking the corner. Leave a message with my receptionist. He pushes the clutch, drops the shifter into second, presses the accelerator, matching the anticipated engine revolutions, and releases the clutch. The engine growls. A quick glance at the sour face confirms that Cassandra dislikes the reply. What if there's an emergency? He spots several adolescents marching on the sidewalk, wearing clothing far too dark for pre-dawn visibility. The street lamps offer a glimpse of sloppy attire and loose backpacks slung over shoulders. There's a real emergency. 911 proves wiser, he says. Her eyes soften, face lengthens. Her palm raises over her face, fingers pushing her hair back. She faces the side window. I mean an emergency only you can deal with. He turns the wheel, pointing the car into the drive before J. Scott High School, and stops in line. A blue electric car inches forward. Working the clutch and switching from brake pedal to accelerator and back, he eases the sedan, following the blue car. He watches the cars ahead. Pulling up to the school walk, each one deposits a teenager emerging from the swinging passenger door. The glare flashes and fades, eyes falling out to the finger flicking the zipper. Steve drives the sedan forward, closing in the blue car. What's bothering you, Pumpkin? Is there something going on at school? She shrugs and looks up, long dark hair tossing over her right shoulder. Her finger flicks the zipper. Everyone in the world has a mobile phone. I have a mobile phone. Not long ago, there were no cell phones. I just don't understand why you don't have a phone. What if something awful happens? Steve peers into the pleading green eyes, seeing youth broken free of innocence. Full of concern, fear, and anger rolled together, the eyes reveal all he needs to know. Something awful has already happened.